Welcome again to Cottage Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, the co-host, and with me today will be Yanis Janaeus. In this episode, we'll be previewing the upcoming match performed against Darby County on Saturday on Boxing Day at the iPro Stadium. To help us with that preview, we will be joined, hopefully soon, by Andy Buckley-Taylor, who's a Darby County blogger. Andy's been on several times, so always good to get him on to share his insight on Darby County. We'll be talking to him hopefully soon, and like I mentioned, hopefully Yanis will be joining us shortly. And we will also have another edition of the Cottage Talk Roundtable. We'll have a couple different discussion pieces for that once Yanis does join us. Before we go any further, just want to mention a very Merry Christmas to everyone out there. Again, we are recording this on Wednesday, and Christmas Eve would be tomorrow, and then, of course, Christmas Day would be on Friday. But, again, this is on Wednesday. I want to wish everyone a very Merry Christmas, and I hope it's a great one for everyone out there. And, again, thank you very much, everyone, for listening to Cottage Talk. Seriously, appreciate everyone listening. It's been an interesting year, and you know what? We'll get through it, and we'll get through to the next year, and hopefully things will be better the second half of the year for Fulham Football Club. And again, while we wait, again, unfortunately, there is no news, no update yet on the situation with having a new Fulham head coach. That would be the latest, is that there really isn't any latest. There is no update. As of right now, Fulham do not have a new head coach / manager. So that means that Stuart Gray will be in charge when they go play at the iPro. So just want to just mention, as of Wednesday, we still do not have a head coach. Looks like Yanis is on the line. I'm going to bring him on. Yanis, how you doing, my friend?
Hello!
How are you doing, my friend?
I'm basking in the glory of Southern Ontario weather. It's 14 degrees today. It's absolute insanity. Loving it. Every minute of it.
That is great, my friend. That is great. It's about 60, 65 degrees Fahrenheit here. I'm actually going to New York over the weekend, and I'm going to be spending Christmas in New York. It should be fun, and it's going to be the same weather. It's crazy that we're talking about this in December.
Well, we've not had, Thursday it's supposed to be 17 degrees here, and we've not had any snow this year, which is beyond crazy, which is marvelous. Loving it.
I'm there with you, like you and I have talked about. You know, I'm not a big fan of the white stuff, especially as much as we had it last year. I can deal with it in small doses, but something tells me February is going to be a rough month for me. I hope it's not a rough month for you, my friend.
I think if it's rough for you, it'll definitely be rough for me, because you know how cold it gets up here.
Yeah.
Freaking freezing.
That's true. It usually, if it hits you, it hits me, vice versa. So we'll see what happens, my friend. All right.
We'll have to go out and get those willy warmers soon.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, while we wait for Andy to join us, he should be joining us in about 10 minutes. First, just want to get your thoughts. Again, we are now Wednesday of Christmas week. Christmas is on Friday. And, Yanis, there is no update. That's how I started off. I was hoping by now that you and I could be talking about a new head coach. Again, there's all this speculation with Slavica Jokanović, but nothing has been done yet. What's your thoughts about this ongoing saga?
This is a family show, right?
Yes, this is a family show.
Okay. Well, obviously the sixth letter would become very prominent in my mind right now. because this is beyond the joke now. I mean, firstly, Jokanović was going to come in after the exit from the Champions League. Then apparently they've got a big game coming up. They had a big game coming up last night. Then apparently there's a press conference tomorrow morning. Does anybody know what's going on? No. You know the old thing about, when you make fun of someone and say, what are you waiting for, Christmas? Well,
right.
Clearly that's in the club's vocabulary. It's just a mess. And we're going into an interesting little Christmas period. We're playing Derby, obviously, tomorrow. That's going to be a really tough game. And then Rotherham, which will now be an emotional game because the club announced that they're going to be doing something special for Jimmy Hill, which I think is fantastic. And
that's
then we've
right.
got really the home and home with Sheffield Wednesday, first in the league at the Cottage, and then up there at Hillsborough for the cup game. And we're looking down rather than up right now. And we had, you know, it's. I mean, I can't. Can you put pressure on a game like tomorrow? I'm not sure. They're second on the table. They really should have been promoted last year, but they laid an egg. But they're a very good side, Russ. And but the joke that is Fulham Football Club, unfortunately, right now, is the fact that we don't have a manager, and we are a laughing stock. And whatever Rigg is going to say or Khan's going to say, the stats don't lie. And the lag between Kit being removed and having a new manager doesn't lie either. You can't change that. So I suppose in a roundabout way, what I'm saying, Russ, is the whole thing's a bloody mess. And I'm sure all of us are in agreement that we can't wait. I really right now could care less if it was Michael Mouse. I mean, just get someone in there. Just get somebody in there just to bring some stability to the club, because right now we have little.
It's just everything is just up in the air. That's the part of this. There's so much uncertainty, and I've said this before, and we can, you know, we'll definitely talk about this. Stuart Gray is doing the best that he can, but he's got his hands full, you know, because again, he's not going to be the guy. So until we get that guy in, and he'll slot in, he'll still be with Fulham Football Club. He'll still be involved with the first team. But until you get the man in charge, you know, he's got a difficult job, Giannis. You know, again, he's doing his best, but it's difficult for Stuart Gray. You know, you're a coach. You know, what would be going through your mind if you're Stuart Gray?
Well, I mean, it depends which way you frame it. If he's been told by Mr. Khan that he's got a job guaranteed after, let's say, Jokanović comes in, he's going to do his very best. He's a professional coach, but at least he does it with a safety blanket, knowing he's going to have a job. If his future hasn't been assured, he's going to try and be a professional, but part of him is going to say, well, I don't give a bollocks, I won't be here anyway. The thing that concerns me about the Jokanović hiring isn't Jokanović himself. He's an excellent coach. But he will have had to agree that Stuart Gray would formulate part of the first team coaching setup.
That's right.
That's based on the assumption that Jokanović hasn't got his boys he wants to bring in. So the other thing, sticking point in talking about, you know, compensation between Maccabi Tel Aviv and Fulham, but there's also Jokanović could turn and say, well, look, I don't know Stuart Gray from a hole in the ground. Why am I going to inherit this? If I want to become, you know, the head coach at Fulham, I want to be able to bring my assistant coaches. And then you see the merit in that. I mean, Mark Hughes did it. We know that. And others like him have followed suit where, you know, Nigel Pearson obviously wanted to bring his boys in. These are trusted foot soldiers that they want and they have a comfort level with in terms of what's going to take place on the training ground. And that's something that hasn't been mentioned. I mean, if you kind of just said, well, you know, okay, I'll take it just to get a foot back in the English door, I get it. But it's all part of the uncertainty that seems to be surrounding the club at the moment. And as fans, we don't know what's happening. And it doesn't help the players because the players can accept it or they can, you know, confirm or deny, but they read what's in the media and you can't change the fact that they don't have a manager. So, I mean, tomorrow may tell us something. We may know something before Christmas Day, but I'm not going to pin my hopes on it.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's an interesting situation. I'm glad that you brought that up because, again, everything that I've heard is that Stuart Gray is going to be part of the setup. So I was thinking of that as well, Giannis. You know, I'm a head coach coming in. Don't I want to bring in my own guys? You brought up Mark Hughes. I was thinking about that as well. So again, he's going to be part of this mix. So it's going to be interesting how this all plays out. Again, nothing's been done yet because we do not have a head coach yet, but eventually they will, and Stuart Gray will be part of the mix.
Sure.
But, Giannis, I've got some good information. We do have Andy on the line, so I'm going to bring him on, and we can get right into talking to him about Derby County. Joining us now is Andy Buckley-Taylor, and Andy's been on the show many times. Andy, how you doing tonight, my friend?
Hello there. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Hey, I can hear you fine, Andy. On the line with us is my friend Giannis.
Hey, Andy, how's it going?
Not too bad at all. Still... feeling the stress of the run into Christmas, like I'm sure all you guys are as well.
Except we're not second in the table.
Well, it's still early days, mate. Still early days. Long way to go.
All right, Andy, and just to mention, Andy has a great blog called Buck Taylor's Derby Blog. So definitely check that out. And Andy, listen, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I definitely want your breakdown of Derby County going into this match on Saturday. But before we do that, I wanted to get your thoughts on this because I've known you now for a while, and I know many Derby County supporters. It goes back to, believe it or not, 2011 for me, when I started seeing all these tweets about Derby County, and I started tweeting with other Derby County followers and find out what was going on. And there was, again, at that point in that season, 2010-2011 season, Derby were in tough shape. Somewhere to how Fulmar right now. So that's why I wanted to get your thoughts on what it was like back then, because I was just checking out Derby's records, going back to when Derby was relegated into the championship in 2008, 2009, you started at 18th, 2009, 2010, it was 14th. The year that I started following it a little bit and meeting some, talking to some Derby County supporters, 19th, 2011, 2012, 12th, 2012, 2013, they kept getting a little bit better. Then it went to 10th. 2 years ago, it was 3rd, and then, of course, you had the season went back to 8th. And I just want to see if we can put a parallel to figure out what's going on with Fulham to look at what happened at Derby. What happened back then when I started talking to all of your supporters back in that 2010-2011 season?
Well, of course, when we first went down, we was in a bit of a financial mess due to throwing money at Paul Jewell. We had a few seasons where Nigel Clough had to get the books balancing again and wheel and deal and look at lower league and into Scotland. The past 3-4 seasons, of course, you saw Nigel Clough was dismissed. I think the feeling, amongst many of the Derby fans and obviously the chief exec, was that Nigel had taken us as far as we can. We brought in Steve McLaren, who had a superb running to take us to the playoff final, which obviously, unfortunately, we lost. Last season, up until about March, we were playing even, we were a better side. And then, of course, all the speculation began linking Steve McLaren with Newcastle. And Steve McLaren never ruled out going to Newcastle. He just kept coming out with it's pure speculation, which is quite funny because a few weeks before that, when he was asked about the link with Darren Bent, his answer was the same. And then we had the capitulation, at the end of the season. The owner and the chief executive decided it was in the best interests of the club if Steve was to move on. We brought in Paul Clement. Now, obviously, he's inherited quite a decent squad. Some of it was from the Nigel Clough days, a few players that Steve McLaren brought in. And we've added one or two others. And I think the main thing to think about here is we went down, we was in a mess. The mess was sorted out. And we've had what you call evolution rather than revolution. And sometimes you just got to use that in the championship, Russ. Because gone are the days where you can just spend with no limits. You've got the financial fair play regulations to consider as well. And, there's one or two teams that have failed to get to grips with that. So it's a lot harder league now to get out of than it was, say, 5-10 years ago.
No, it definitely seems that way, Andy. And honestly, I think financial fair play is going to make it even harder, and because the league is just going to get more even, and any team can beat any team, which is great in one aspect because the games can be very close. But if you're trying to get out, it's very difficult. And even in Darby's situation, it's funny because I could point to Fulham beating you last year as really the beginning of the slide, which for whatever reason Fulham beat you that day. It was a great day for Fulham, but that's when it really started to go down for Derby County. But for you, it really was just an evolution over time, Andy. It just kept building and building, and then you changed managers. You got in McLaren, and it's been a kind of a slow climb.
It has. We've had to be very, very patient. The chief executive was on the radio 2 years ago explaining how many millions that Nigel Clough had shaved off the bill for the playing staff. If your club is in good financial shape and you manage your money well, big transfers are still possible. You know, but we've been very successful in bringing in extra sponsorship as well. And now, in fact, since I was last on the programme, obviously the ownership of the club has changed as well.
That's right.
Yeah, GSC have sold out to a local Derby man who's got his fingers in many pies, and you know there's a lot of speculation on how much he's worth. They say recently the deal which saw one of the software companies he was involved with his actual share was estimated to be bringing him in another £500 million. But the important thing about this, Russ, he is a Derby man. He's a self-made millionaire. He loves the clubs. He loves the fans. A few weeks ago, all season ticket holders and membership holders got a free scarf. And we're not talking about the £7 to £10 scarfs you get in a club shop. You're talking about £33 designer scarfs. The home game with Bristol City, everybody got free hot drinks all night. Now, when you're now on a cold Tuesday night, that is something that's very much appreciated. He goes about with the fans, he talks to the fans, and, you know, without other owners who sort of overdo it with the fans and can sometimes embarrass themselves, Mel Morris, he's got a good rapport, he's got ambition, and the evidence is so far that he's made a good appointment in running the team.
Okay, fantastic there. Great analysis of where you came from. And I wanted to ask you, actually, about the ownership change, because it sounds like it was a positive move. You know, like you said, a local guy, so that probably also helped as well there, Andy. All right, let's now get into this. Let's talk about, before we get into talking about the match, one other thing. You mentioned Clement. I want to get your thoughts on the difference between Clement and McLaren from last year. You touched on it a little bit, but could you just tell us a little bit more about, are there any style differences? What is he doing differently than McLaren?
The actual main style of the play is not too dissimilar, Russ. The favoured formation is still 4-3-3, but Clement is willing to change things if things are going against us. The Bristol City game, he played a 4-2-3-1 formation. He is, I think, he's got plans, you know, to be able to, well, 4-3-3, everybody knows we play that. They know what sort of style of football we play. And last season, it's the only style we could play. There's a couple of times this season where Paul Clement has probably, you know, thought we was up against opposition that will come and park the bus and try stopping us playing and scoring goals, where he's been able to tinker with it. The Bristol City game, we didn't have Chris Martin on. He started Darren Bent, and then he had Tom Ince playing in the centre behind the striker rather than out in a wide position. You know, he knows who he's preferred right back is. He knows what his best team is, but he also knows that he's got a little bit more flexibility, and he seems to have a little bit more know-how into changing things should they need it to be done.
Okay, Very good. And Andy, could you just talk up a little bit longer? A little bit louder. You're coming a little light there, so if you don't mind just speaking up just a little bit louder. Okay, great. A topic from last season, I remember you telling me many times that Darby County were too dependent on Chris Martin. Well, how about this season? You have many other options. I look at the starting 11, look at the players available. Tom Ince just came off 2 games ago. I believe got a hat trick. You've got George Thorne in the middle of the pitch. What other players stand out for you that make Darby County not as dependent on Chris Martin as you were last season?
Well, we've got more players. I hope that's a bit louder for you.
Yeah, that's all about it. Thanks, Andy.
We've got, say, like in the midfield, we've brought in Jacob Butterfield and Bradley Johnson. Now, they've both chipped in with goals. They're both, you know, given the chance, they will have a go. Obviously, Tom Ince, he came in actually towards the tail of last season on loan and scored a few goals. Johnny Russell, given a chance, will score. Chris Martin, he's had a bit of a slower start this season. I think he's only got 9 goals so far. However, he's not there just to score goals. His hold-up play, whilst we're in the 4-3-3, is important. But like we said, even you could go all the way back to George Thorne, who plays a holding role. On the edge of the area, he can have a good crack at scoring a goal. Now, he didn't play much last season, obviously, because of the ACL injury. But I think that's what it's all about now, is not just relying on the striker to get the goals. The goals are coming from other areas.
Okay, great. And that's why I wanted to ask you about that. All right. All right. You mentioned Jacob Butterfield. Actually, he was pretty impressive against Fulham. Talk about him and other additions to the squad coming into this season.
Well, we would start at goalkeeper. Scott Carson has been the first choice goalkeeper. Unfortunately, he is out injured at the moment, so Lee Grant has got a recall. In central defence, the main change is that Jason Shackle has been brought back to the club. I struggle to think of any errors that he's actually made this season. He's a rock-solid centre-half, and he's got plenty of championship strikers in his back pocket. We have a change at left-back because Craig Forsyth is now out for the whole of the season. But Stephen Warnock has come in, and he's done quite a good job. In the midfield, George Thorne obviously now starting after the serious injury. But you've got Bradley Johnson, Jacob Butterfield. You've also got the option of Jeff Hendrick and Craig Bryson when he's fit again. And don't forget also, first game of the season, we lost Will Hughes. So
that's right.
We had a big hole to fill there. But in the attack, mainly, we've got Tom Ince on the right with Chris Martin in the middle. But the left-sided position has changed, you know, a few times. Johnny Russell or Andreas Weimann are the players that have been selected for that role. And it's difficult for me to say exactly who is a better player. I mean, there's other players that have been brought in, but they've more or less had cameos, like Chris Baird, who, you know, obviously you guys will know
I was going to ask you about Chris Baird, honestly, because obviously Fulham supporters have him in high regard. You know, we call him Bairdinho. How has he worked out?
He had a couple of difficult games at the start of the season. And, you know, the fickle fans got on his back a bit. But to be quite honest, Russ, we haven't seen enough of him to really make a fair judgment. You know, he's struggling to get in the side. And if you're going to bring him in, I struggle to think who you would drop to bring him in. You know, it's like with Alex Pearce, who's been brought from Reading. I struggle to remember when I last saw him on the pitch, you know. But another thing, you know, with the January window coming up and there's all the speculation on which players we may bring in or whatever, well, Simon Dawkins, I would expect to see out the exit door because he's literally been omitted from, you know, the whole matchday squad game by game.
Okay, very good, Andy. All right. Tell us, you know, again, obviously we're Fulham supporters, so really nail down the strengths of Derby County and also the weaknesses and how Fulham could take advantage of Derby County. We all know it's going to be a very difficult match, but let's talk about where you're strongest and where you're weakest.
Strongest defence, plenty of clean sheets this season. Defence looks very solid. Cyrus Christie has really stepped up this season. Midfield, we are generally, to be honest, Russ, at our best, we're strong all over the park. You know, you can sing, you know. But weaknesses could be if we get a team that plays a defensive formation, we can get a little frustrated. If you watch back the game tape against Nottingham Forest, say, you know, the team we love to hate, we went there, they did the homework, they put a defensive formation, they, you know, effectively, they had a six-man defence. They had you had your four regular defenders with the two midfielders sat in front of them. They were playing very deep and they were hitting us on the... And when you play a team like that, you tend to gamble more. If you're getting frustrated, you can't penetrate the defence. You know, you sometimes will take a gamble and, of course, you can be hit on the break. And that game, you know, we must have had 65 to 70% of the possession, but we just could not breach it. And I think it's, in a game, the longer, if your defence and your midfield is doing a good job and shutting us out, we can get a little frustrated. And as the longer as the game goes on, you know, it sometimes seems to me that we're not going to score if we're here all night.
Okay. So what you're telling me, again, because I'm trying to think of what the strategy would be for Stuart Gray, and if you've checked out Fulham this year, we score a great amount of goals there, Andy, but we give up a great amount of goals. So for them to – if you're Stuart Gray, you would basically park the bus and try to beat you on the counter.
Yeah, that is the best tactic against us. You know, Forest beat us. That's what they did. And we've only lost the two games, so, you know, it's difficult to add many more examples, but that's basically how they did the job on us.
Okay, very good, Andy. All right, I'm going to turn you over to my good friend, Giannis. Giannis, do you have any questions for Andy?
No, I mean, I think... you know, I think a lot of us were really surprised that Derby couldn't make it, couldn't get promoted last year. They had a bit of a problem or two coming in. But if you look at that squad, I mean, Clement's done an excellent job. And Andy's absolutely right. There really is strength all over the park. And,
really, yeah.
I think probably the biggest compliment to pay Derby County is, you know, they went down to Suffolk and beat Ipswich 2-1 at the weekend. And Mick McCarthy said, "I'd be stunned if Middlesbrough and Derby don't make the automatic promotion places." And you've got to remember, Russ, when Derby currently play Nottingham Forest, there's such a history. You know, you've got the East Midlands rivalry. Obviously, our little friend Brian Clough managed both with great success. Although there's obviously a lot of resentment, there's also a lot of respect between the two clubs. And I think it's the Clough, whether it's, you know, Brian or Nigel, but they're a very good side and they can hurt you all over. If they got players like Andy Vyman coming off the bench,
right. I was thinking the same thing. Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be a very, very difficult game, and I hope we don't park the bus because we do score a lot of goals. But right now, we're as leaky as the Titanic anyway. I mean, I can see this sort of game ending up. I could see this game ending up 4-2, 5-3. To Derby County, of course. Because we can score goals, but because we're defensively a disaster.
So we're a mess right now.
It'll be an entertaining game for sure. But Derby County really should be where they are at second. I remember when they got relegated, Russ. They were, and Andy will certainly that they were terrible. I mean, they were shockingly poor in the Premier League. I think they got, what, 12 points all year? Something silly like that. But I also remember we lost to them as well. Up there as well. Yeah. Which didn't say a lot for us. But good on them to recover the way they have. And I actually do hope they get promoted. I obviously hope we win tomorrow, but they're one of the top sides in the division. And as we've seen with Leicester City, you know what? These promoted teams have nothing to fear anymore, and I'm sure Derby can give a good account of themselves in the Premier League.
Yeah, Matt, listen, I hear you. And Andy, before I let you go, you know, again, I've known you for a long time now, because, again, this goes back 5 years ago for me when I started seeing all these tweets from Derby County supporters, and I'm like, what's going on? And heard the story, and then I really see the parallel now, 5 years later, to what's going on with my team. So it's interesting to see, because I know that Fulham can turn around, but I remember how it was with the fans at Derby County. It's so similar, Andy. It's crazy. It really is a similar thing, and they just need to get going. That's why for us, we really need a new head coach to really jumpstart this whole thing and start pushing forward. Because it can take a while, and it's difficult in the championship. Like your side has seen, your side saw last year. You know, even the year before you came close, it's still difficult to get out. But before I let you go, give me a prediction for the match on Saturday.
Well, Ross, prediction. I'm not the world's greatest predictor, but I'm going 2-0 Derby.
Okay, and I'm going to share this with you. I'm going to share it again at the end of the show. This will just give you a flavor of what the Fulham supporters think. I put a poll on the Cottage Talk Twitter page, and 256 people have answered the poll. For win, 11%. Loss, 80%. 9% draw. So that should give you an idea of how the Fulham fans think about this upcoming match. We know how good Derby County is. But we'll see what happens, and best of luck to you, my friend, the rest of the season.
Yeah, good luck to you guys, and I hope all Fulham fans and everybody across in the States has a great Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Thanks, Andy.
Thank you very much, Andy. You're great, and I really appreciate you joining us tonight just to give us a little information on what's going on with Derby County. Thank you, my friend.
Anytime, Russ.
Merry Christmas, matey.
And okay. I'll see you later. Cheers.
See you, matey.
Okay, cheers, Andy. Thank you. Okay, that was Andy Buckley-Taylor joining again. He's been on our show several times. Giannis, great guy. Fantastic guy. Yep. I message with him all the time. He happens to be a huge Oakland Raiders fan, of all things. But we talk all the time. He's a great guy. And like I said, when Fulham were, again, in the Premier League, I was thinking about what team can I, you know, get to know a little bit about in the championship, and I just so happened to become friends with all these Derby County supporters. That's where my connection goes with Derby County. People have asked me, well, how can you support Derby County? I don't support Derby County, but I just got to know so many of them, so many great people like Andy, and I honestly, you know, besides playing Fulham, I wish him and my friends the best. It's a very good fan base, and I do wish them the best. I know the history going back with Fulham and Derby. Trust me, I know the history going back to the 80s. I know about that match. Yes, I know about that match. But I'm just telling you about my experience with the Derby County supporters. So, Giannis, what did you make of our conversation with Andy?
It was pretty frank, and he was pretty honest and objective about the Derby side and the strengths and the weaknesses, and he's bang on. I mean, the results tell the story. Their record tells a story. You know, they're a team to be feared. They're in second for a reason. And we've got a very, very difficult game tomorrow. It'd be very Fulhamish if we go up there and get a draw. The one good thing that's come out, I think, of the last few games is at least we're creating chances. But Derby are very solid at the back, and they've got quite a number of experienced former Premier League players that have really shored up the lineup. They've got strength in depth as well as breadth, and it's going to.
They got
make
your
it...
favorite player too.
Oh, am I getting get into trouble for saying burnt sausage again? But there you go. because remember last year, of course, he went and bloody well scored on us. Go figure. But I think they're Stuart Gray's going to have a conundrum You know, I don't think that parking the bus against Derby is going to work. I really don't. I think they're the sort of team that we really should have a go at them and see if we can be attacking and see what we can do. And look, they're second in the table, but if they go a goal down to us, it's not going to be something they expect, and maybe their fans will get on their backs. And you never know what's going to happen there. So I hope that tomorrow we go out there and, you know, we play, we're aggressive, but we play some entertaining footy. And if we get an early goal,
yep.
You know, who knows? The problem is right now I don't trust our ability to keep a clean sheet. And strangely enough, that has nothing to do with the goalkeeping we've had this year.
You know, it's, well, boy, you know, like we could talk about the defense for two shows worth, and we have. And it's been shambolic. Let's just be honest here. It's been terrible. Yeah. And, you know, that's why when I go through this, Giannis, I'm going to give you some other information, just stats and thoughts on Derby County that I got from whoscored.com, and you see it, you'll be like, oh. Because again, we score a good amount of goals, but we leak a good amount of goals. And when you're playing a team like this that has had all these clean sheets, it's going to be a tough task. But again, who knows? Did anyone pick us to beat Derby County at Craven Cottage last year? I don't think there were many, and we upset them. So you never know. And we do have the goals in us. That's the one thing that I can say. We do have the goals in us. The question is, can we keep them out? And as Andy said, they're gonna be difficult. They have strength all over the pitch. I look at all the players, and there is strength everywhere. And it's funny when he mentioned Andres Vyman. You know, again, can't even make the starting 11. That should give you an indication of how strong they are, and they really are. And you know, it's gonna be a difficult match on Saturday. All right, Giannis, real quick, I do want to, before we really finish up and go into our own preview, I have a couple topics in the Cars Talk roundtable I want to go over. I don't want to take too long, but just sure. I just want to get your thoughts on this because, again, it goes to what we've been talking about already. I've been, you know, trying to get thoughts on certain positions. So I want to get your thought on this particular position. So we are getting into the roundtable. Who is your preferred left back at Fulham right now? You can include James Husband. I know he's not with us anymore, but you could always say, because fans have said to me already on the Cottage Talk Facebook page, James Husband, because they want him back. But who would be your preferred left back for the rest of the season for Fulham?
I think right now it'd probably have to be Tim Ream. But then I say that with an validate that with an asterisk. Because it all depends on the formation. It really does. I mean, he is a left back. He seemed to play well in a 3-5-2. But the problem is sometimes the mindset, you know, has to come into it. I mean, how do you get prepared for a game? You spend a week of training and everything ready, and then you concede a goal in 18 seconds. I mean, it just so, you know, all things being considered, I'd have to say Ream because, it looks like Husband, we don't know what the status will be for that. But it's just one of those holes we seem to have in this team, especially when we seem to come up against so many right wingers that burn us. And that's
right.
Where we seem to get, it's not so much, I think, as much in the middle, but I think wide we run into problems. In terms
no,
of
it's good.
Ream's
about... I'm sorry, go ahead, Giannis.
I was going to say, in terms of what we've got now, Russ, Ream. I mean, and I'm saying that, I'm shrugging my shoulders when I say it.
Yeah.
Ream.
Well, what's funny about this, again, I asked our co-host Matt Smith when I did the coaching corner about this. We talked a good amount about this, and it goes back to what you just said, Giannis, formation. If you have a 3-5-2, if you have him as part of that three on the left, that probably suits him the best. As a left back, you know, again, he's not sold on him being the left back. He can be a left back, but it goes back to the conundrum with him. Then you have Luke Garbert, who played decently in midfield, but he's a left back. So that's why
yes.
I bring this up. And, of course, everyone is still talking about James Husband. I went on the I put this on the Cars Talk Facebook page. I'm just going to share this with you. Barry Oliver said Husband. Roger Lewis said, seriously, though, if we could get a Husband back, either on loan or being able to purchase him, that would be his choice. James Vady said, Husband. I mean, it's all Gary Martin. Personally, I feel all of our fullbacks have defensive weaknesses right and left. Husband is currently not a full player, and I would only want him back at the club. You know, if we purchase him or on loan. So going on currently at the club, I would have to say Luke Garbutt. Sean Cavanaugh can play at fullback, but is not a championship quality. Tim Ream has not impressed me either. And Thea Evans, our friend in New Zealand, said, currently I think Garbutt's the only one that can play there in a 4-4-2, but he's a lone player, which is why the 3-5-2 suits the squad we have going with three fullbacks, Dearman, Ream, and Brennan, or Hutchinson. And I agree with that. I agree with her on that. So very interesting take on that. Another subject that I want to talk to you briefly, again, because we got a little less than 20 minutes, I want to ask you about this, because a player I'm fond with, but I'm not fond with the situation with him, is Emerson Hyman.
Yep.
He's now played in two matches. He started in the last one. So I'm going to ask you the question, Giannis, should Emerson Hyman continue to see significant playing time, even though he's made it known that he's not going to sign a new deal with Fulham?
Tough. This is a tough call. The one thing we're not privy to, I mean, he said that, but I mean, how much of that is agent talk? The one thing that we're not privy
True.
To is really how far the negotiations have gone in terms of Hyman. To Stuart Gray's credit, he's obviously seen something in that. And I think a good professional coach will look past contract details and say, look, I've got to put what I think is the strongest 11 out. Whether players want to be here or not. And providing Hyman is professional enough to give it 110% every game, why shouldn't he play? So Gray deserves, I think, a lot of credit for that. In terms of whether he should see significant playing time, well, if Gray considers him to be one of the best 11, then I say yes. Because it's until we see evidence that basically he's going through the motions, that you just go, there's no time for him. He's got one foot out of the door. But in terms of the way he's played the last couple of games, I don't think we've seen that. You know, he's still putting his effort in, and I think that's good. And remember, the next few months, you never know what's going to happen. I mean,
right.
You might have Jokanović comes in, looks at Hyman, and says, "Look, you could be a really big part of our long-term plans." He might take to him as a coach. You know, it's not just about the money, Russ. You know, sometimes you play for the coach. You want to play for the coach. He
that's
might
good point.
Put him in a system where he's going to really, really benefit. And Jokanović did a fantastic job with Watford last year, let's be honest. They were one of the most entertaining teams in the division. They were fun to watch. They were attacking. And, Hyman could benefit under that. So, you know, I'm going to give Hyman some credit that he's been professional in terms of the way he approaches the game when he's selected. And I'm going to give Gray credit for being mature enough to pick him, even though there's a chance he won't be here. But Hyman is a good player. And for all we know, he's shopping him for the January window as well. So, I mean, it's where we could maybe make a splash or two or three in January. But I don't have a problem with it as long as he's still giving everything he can to the team on game day.
See, I like the way that you pose that. And, again, I just wanted to throw it out there because there's talk. You know, again, you know, you're playing, it's a difficult situation. Playing a player that is going to be out of contract at the end of the season. And Kidd, I believe, even talked about it in some of his pressers, you know, that, you know, talking about the situation. So it's, you know, it's not ideal. But I like how you said it, Giannis. If he gives you 100%, and based on what I've watched so far from him, he has. And if Stuart Gray thinks that he fits what he wants to do right now, then I agree with you 100%. Why not play him? You know, you want to play the players that you think can help you win. And if you believe that Emerson Hyman can help you win, regardless of the contract situation, and he gives you 100%, you play him. I agree with you on that, Giannis. I just thought I would bring it up because it's an interesting situation, not interesting good. It's just it's a difficult situation would be the best way to put it.
I think he's shot. To be honest, Russ, I think he's being shopped. I think he's looking to get rid of maybe Jokanović isn't going to have a lot of time, assuming he comes in terms of the transfer window. But I think that the club may have realised, well, look, we're not going to keep him. We might as well shop him, and then maybe we'll get something for him in the deadline where he can sign somewhere else, and maybe it gives us a little bit of money in the bank to get a replacement.
Okay, very good there, Giannis. Again, thought it was interesting that again Emerson Hyman, after a long time away from Fulham and talking about actually in the first team. He's played the last two matches and Like I mentioned, when I've watched, he's looked pretty solid. So I want to give the kid credit. I want him to stay. You know I want him to stay. I see a bright future. I want it to be a Fulham, but we'll see if that happens. But as long as he gives the effort the way he has the last two matches, I don't have any problem with him playing. That's just my thoughts. I just thought something that we should at least talk about. All right,
sure.
Giannis, let's now do our own preview of Derby County. I'll just share with you some information on him. Again, this is from WhoScored.com, which gives me some really good information on them. Let's start with their record. Derby County are currently second in the division. They have 12 wins, 8 draws, 2 losses. They've scored 33. They've only given up 13. They're on a plus 20 goal differential, and they're on 44 points. Fulham, currently 18th, 5 wins, 9 draws, 8 losses. We've scored 36. We've scored more goals than Derby, but we've given up 39 goals. Think about that. 39 goals, and Derby County have only given up 13. We're on a minus 3 goal differential. We're on 24 points. And just want to mention, at home, Derby have won 6 out of the last 7. That's just a little stat for you. Again, this is all from WhoScored.com. Derby strengths, attacking down the wings, they're very strong, creating long shot opportunities, creating chances through individual skill, shooting from direct free kicks, finishing scoring chances, counterattacks, protecting the lead, and defending set pieces. These are their strengths. Their weaknesses, WhoScored.com only has it down for 1. That's defending against long shots, and Fulham don't really do that much. Derby-style short passes control the game in the opposition's half, attack through the middle. They take long shots. They play possession football. Opponents play aggressively against them, and they're known as non-aggressive, which I find interesting. And as Andy told us, they play a 4-3-3. Players to watch, according to WhoScored.com, their highest-rated players were George Thorne, Jason Shackle, and Cyrus Christie. Top goal scorer is Chris Martin with 9. Tom Mintz is 2nd at 7. Again, 2 games ago, he had a hat trick. That's just a little information there on Derby County there, Giannis. All right. Now, with all that information that I just gave you, who are your key players for Fulham in this match against Derby County on Saturday?
Well, the back four is very solid. I mean, 13 goals speaks for itself. I'm a huge fan of Tom Ince, and he has been
playing. He's playing well, by the way.
Yes, he is playing well. And Chris Martin can still, I know he's only scored 9 goals, but he can still score goals. I think you pick your poison, Russ. I mean, Ince worries me because of his creativity and his awareness. Martin knows how to finish. They're a patient team, but they're a well-organized team, and they defend brilliantly in numbers. They give very little away, and they tend to be very disciplined around their own box. So they won't give many free kicks away, which, you know, I mean, one of the ways we could get them is, you know, one of Mac's specials. Yeah. But, I mean, I'm not so sure how many of those he's going to, you know, we're going to get the chance to create. I think on paper, they're 2 goals better than us. They're 18, 20 points clear of us. But yeah, they're 20 points clear. 40, yeah, and that speaks for itself right there. I just think they're a very strong side. I actually happen to think they're a better side than Middlesbrough. I think they're the best team in the division. And it's going to be a very, very difficult game. But having said that, I'm expecting us to put in a good effort. It's not going to say that we're necessarily going to get anything, but I hope maybe if the news comes in tomorrow that Jokanović is going to take over, I dare say he'll be up at Derby on Boxing Day. And the players will want to prove a point. It's a new manager coming in and respected as well. So they're going to want to prove to the new gaffer that they deserve a spot in the team. So I'd like to think they'll have a little bit of extra impetus and incentive to put in a good performance. So, but I mean, everywhere around the park, Russ, wherever you look, and when I've seen them this year, they've been impressive. They really do impress me. They're a very good side. But you know.
And again, I watched a bunch of video today, and yes, I do have friends that follow Derby County, and I do wish them well, unless they play Fulham, okay. But I'm being honest here. I was just watching it, but I'm trying to see weaknesses, and when I'm asking Andy, and I'm thinking, well, I'm trying to see where we can take advantage of them, and it's difficult to see where we could take advantage of them. But Giannis, if say we were to win this match, who would have to have a huge match? Would it be someone like McCormack on free kicks, or would it be someone like Jamie O'Hara and trying to control the play in the middle? Who would have to have an extraordinary match for Fulham to pull off this victory?
Well, I think you're going to have to look at the lineup here. A lot's going to depend on Gray's lineup, and I happen to think that he needs to make a couple of changes for this particular game as compared to the.
Okay, well, let's go right into that. What would you do?
Well, it wouldn't be the most popular move in thing, but I would actually bench Dembele for the game on Boxing Day, and I'd bring Matt Smith in.
Okay.
I think that Matt Smith has played well when he's come on. He gives us a different dimension, but he will keep the defenders honest. And I think that, Dembele is someone you can bring off the bench after, 55, 60 minutes to have a good look at and he's going to give you a different look with different pace. He can obviously score. But Matt Smith is a bruiser, and I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing to bring him in. I think O'Hara is going to play, by the way. Parker lasted 78 minutes against Bolton. The left-back position could be very, very interesting in terms of how the formation goes. Garbutt had a decent game against Bolton. Will they bring him in and drop Ream? I'm not sure. And if you look at that bench, well, from Saturday you had Pringle and you had Kearney and you had O'Hara and let's not forget Corley Woodrow. So we've got players on the bench. And this might be, you might find he's going to make a few changes here. Just look at this and say, okay, let's see if we can shore it up a little bit. But I think the first thing I would think of is I'd actually bring Matt Smith in for this one. Get a big body up there. It's going to bruise him a little bit, upset the rhythm of the back four. We know he's very good in the air. We know he's very good at holding the ball up. And let's give them something different to think about. Because if you can get the ball up to your main striker,
right.
He's got the ability to hold up and lay it off wide and then move it into gaps. And I don't think that's going to be a bad idea against Derby. I really don't. But we'll see. I mean, Stuart Gray's going to come out with the old, how they did on the training field and boom, boom, boom. But privately, he'll be very disappointed with we conceded two goals against a team that had 13 points going in a Saturday. And he won't be impressed. So he's got to find a way to shore it up and maybe freshen things up a little bit. I know that the overwhelming, the listeners will probably want to throw things at the radio. Dan will get rid of Dan Byrne. Dan Byrne is your club scapegoat, but and I've been critical of him as well. But let's not forget that Dan Byrne is still a young defender, and it does take time. I'm not willing to quit on him yet. I'd rather have him in the lineup than Jazz Richards, who is a vastly experienced fullback. And to me, I scratch my head as to why he's in there. I'm delighted Kaká's having a good run out in the team, and it's not before time. I've always been high on him. And Harvard's had a little bit of time to sit on the bench and, freshen his legs because we know he's got a little bit stale. So he's got options there, Russ. He really does.
He does.
I hope to make some changes. And say, look, this is one of those that we're huge underdogs. Let's go in there and put in a good effort. But as I said, Matt Smith would be the first one I'd put in.
I
would do that. I would do that. And you notice Smith didn't come off the bench against Bolton on Saturday. He was
no, he didn't.
Musa. So Matt will be chomping at the bit. Let's get him on the pitch. Let's see what he can do.
Okay. So for you, your strategy against Derby County, because we know that Derby County is they should have the majority of the possession. You're going to say, you know what? I don't want to park the bus, but I want to play Route 1. You basically want to play Route 1 football.
I think so. I think so. Because, look, we've all been going on about how much talent this team has. But the fact is, we've got 24 points. So, again, stats won't lie. You can talk about referee decisions and injuries and all that jazz, or missed chances, but it is what it is. So we've not won in seven, and we can't take that away. So I don't believe that Matt Smith has played in any of those seven. So let's give Derby a different look. It doesn't mean we can't get the ball wide. We've got players like Kaká,
Sure.
You can go at players. You can still play some nice footy, but the good thing is that you've got a target man up there who will fight for every ball. It gives defenders a different dimension. He's going to try and bully his way around, and I don't think that's a bad thing. Might just upset him a little bit, and you never know where a goal. As I said, if we go a goal up, it might completely change, you know, the mechanics and momentum of the game, because Derby fans are certainly not going to be expecting it. So I don't think we've got anything to lose. Just go and play, and if we put in a good performance and get something out of it, it'll give us some confidence for the Rotherham game on Tuesday, which is a real six-pointer. And not forgetting that Rotherham have just come off a 2-0 victory over Hull City. Tremendous.
They did.
And they always seem to give us a little bit of trouble. It'd be good if we put in a good performance. But I want to see a couple of things change there just to freshen things up.
Okay, very good. And what's interesting, Giannis, because while you were talking about this, you mentioned Hull City, if I remember correctly. Yeah. Matt Smith, that's the match that Matt Smith got injured, but he started that match. So they were going, you know, again, this is back with Kick, you know, he had started with Fulham, so it's not like, you know, he hasn't done it recently. He actually did it at the very beginning of the season when he got injured in that match when he got injured with Marcus Bettinelli. So,
yeah.
So it's interesting, you know. Again, Giannis, I'm trying to find a way that they could give Derby County a problem, and maybe your idea, you know, it might not be the prettiest football, but if it's effective at this point, like you said, we haven't won. If it's effective and it got them a result, I'm not against anything at this point. I'll try anything. So I'm not gonna say no to that suggestion, because they got to do whatever they can to find a victory, find a point. You know, if they got a point at the iPro, I think that would be huge. This is a very good side. If they could figure out a way to get something out of this, I think that would be huge. It's going to be difficult. All right, Giannis, my friend, we only have 3 minutes left, so let's go to predictions. Give me your prediction for this match for Saturday on Boxing Day.
3-1 Derby.
3-1 Derby. All right.
Yeah, I can't see us getting. I'd love to think we can. I wouldn't even be surprised if we took the lead. But I can't. I just think it's one of those games where we go up there and it might be damage limitation. I hope to God I'm wrong. But I just think that they're too strong all over the park for us. And so I'm going to predict it will be 2 goals in it. But like Andy said, but I think we'll get one. So I think it will be 3-1.
Okay. I think your prediction is actually spot on. That's what I wrote down, Giannis, because they're difficult to score upon, but we've shown the ability to score. So I'm going to go with you. You know, unfortunately, I'm going to say 3-1 to Derby County. I can't see it. I want to be proven wrong. Please prove me wrong. nothing would give me more joy on Boxing Day to find out and listen that Fulham won this match. I'll be in New York City listening to the match, and that would be great if they could pull off this upset or just get a point. That'd be fantastic. All right, Giannis, we've just got about 90 seconds left. Thank you so much for doing this with me, my friend. I always enjoy doing shows with you.
Always a pleasure, matey. And while I've been talking to you, I've been checking out the latest tweets, and I don't like the news that seems to be coming down the wire here. Now, there seems to be some reports coming in, and there seems to be some uncertainty now whether Jokanović is actually going to come. I mean, if these, I hope they're wrong, but if these rumors are true, we're in deep doo-doo here, because we conceivably we could be going into 2016 without a manager, with a big league game with Sheffield Wednesday and an FA Cup game. But just be a wreck again, wouldn't it, really? Let's hope not.
Oh, boy. Listen, as we wrap up the show, I really hope that these tweets are wrong. I'll just leave it at that. Giannis, great show, my friend. It's time to wrap it up. For Giannis Shanaeus, I'm Russ Coleman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk. Cheers, my friend.
Bye, Russ. Bye.
Boys and